My name is Adi Tomer. I'm an associate fellow at the Brookings Institution, specializing in infrastructure.
The agreement still needs to be approved by a federal district court and by the judge in the American Airlines bankruptcy case, but it appears this merger may be closed by mid-December. It's been reported that the Charlotte hub will become the combined airline's second biggest hub, but there's a provision in this agreement that says for a period of 3 years consistent with historical operations. What does that mean for Charlotte Douglas International Airport?
You know, in many ways, the agreement really just sets up the same foundation by which merged airlines take the time to kind of consolidate their operations. So in no ways am I questioning kind of the fairness of the deal. It takes a certain amount of time for airlines to simply combine their operations to then decide for forward-looking changes to their business operations. So to give you an example, U.S. Airways pulled out of Pittsburgh years ago as a major hub, including after Pittsburgh, the airport authority there had invested significantly in the capital, the airport infrastructure itself. But that agreement, to actually move out took time after they merged with the airline in the greater Pennsylvania area. So it's going to take a bit of time for Charlotte to figure out where they stand. And really, the 3 years is not a protection enough by which the new American would have been able to figure out if they want to change their operation structure there in the first place.
You referred to Pittsburgh. What lessons, if any, can Charlotte officials learn from what happened in Pittsburgh or Cincinnati or, for that matter, St. Louis following a merger?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the question that's on the tip of every major airline hub city or hub airport across the country when any of these mergers happen. And it really doesn't matter how large the city is on a certain level, but certainly for places like Charlotte, which are in the same class as Cincinnati and Pittsburgh, they're especially susceptible to these kind of changes. And that's because the passenger base is actually larger, if you will, than the actual economic base of that metropolitan area. So our lesson for Charlotte and listeners really broader across the North Carolina region who use CLT need to be kind of wary of potential changes. You know, I think everyone hopes that every airport can have connections everywhere in the country and everywhere in the world that people want to go. But that just doesn't make business sense for the airlines. In the case of Charlotte, you know, in terms of the actual share of connecting passengers in the market, Charlotte has the biggest number across the country. It's almost 60% of just domestic passengers in that airport are actually just connecting. In other words, they're just going somewhere else. And so if the new American ever decided to pull out, that would have a significant impact, not just on the business of the airport, but the level of connections, the level of flights that local residents and local businesses could take advantage of.
U.S. Airways CEO Doug Parker was quoted as saying, "This is great for Charlotte. Long term, do you agree?"
You know, it's a sticky question. Charlotte, in many ways, is well positioned because it really is the chief domestic kind of filter point for certainly U.S. Airways operations right now and can continue to be for the new American. But there's also quite a bit of numbers that make it sound like CLT, as I just mentioned, really should have almost like their feelers up. They should really be sensitive to the winds of what's going on in terms of passenger travel. Again, Charlotte has the highest share of transfer passengers of any airport in the country. That puts you incredibly reliant on particular airlines for deciding to kind of concentrate or hub, if you will, business at their airport. If there is a change in the economic winds, if you will, or even a change to the local business climate, let's say, a major industrial change in what's going on in Charlotte that affects local business, it could impact Americans' decisions to stay there. It's really hard to read the tea leaves 10 years down the road, 15 years down the road, when these kind of hub changes might happen. But it's certainly something that Charlotte should be more nervous, if you will, or more attentive than other larger markets with more of a local passenger base. So Miami, Philadelphia, Dallas, in this new American kind of hub network.
When this merger first surfaced, you were quoted as saying, "While Charlotte Douglas International Airport has a lot going for itself, it may not be enough to maintain its position as a major hub." Has your opinion changed?
No, it has not. You know, certainly the economic winds from when not only that was written, but when the merger was first announced haven't really changed much. These kind of mergers are of major multinational, essentially, companies in terms of where they operate. And it takes years to consolidate their operations on all kinds of levels. You know, one of the most common that flyers tend to look at is the frequent flyer program, right? I mean, and U.S. Airways customers are actually going to be changing to a new alliance. So my view hasn't changed, which is most of all that residents, businesses in Charlotte, but also, you know, local government authorities who are investing great money, both in size, but also in the investments that it'll return at the airport itself, you know, should just be attentive to the potential for what could happen. I just looked up the numbers, right? It's about 38% in 2012 of flights going in and out of Charlotte Douglas were from USA Air and American combined. That's a large percentage. And the potential for that to change, even in the slightest, can really, again, impact businesses on the ground. So it's a situation to continue to monitor. And we're confident, especially with the changeover in leadership there, that they will do so moving forward.
In the long run, will this make it easier for North Carolinians to get to the Northeast?
Yeah, I don't think that's going to change, especially if one flies out of CLT, right? You know, you're going to continue to have strong connections to the Northeast because if for nothing else, and that underscores this whole hub consolidation element, is that those economies are vibrant, they're strong, and they're large. In other words, there's a lot of flights that go to New York, not because New York is a great jumping off point to points all across the world and country, which it certainly is. It's because New York's economy is huge, you know, and they have a specialty in finance, which obviously makes a strong connection to Charlotte, but really just across a whole suite of industries and really even on a human level, right? A lot of people just have family and friends right in New York. So there will continue to be a strong connection there. It's more about how quickly and easily will residents in, let's say, Asheville or Raleigh be able to get to, you know, let's just pick a far off place, right? Like Seattle or Portland. How long, how difficult might that trip take? It won't be a question that you can get there. It's just a question of how long.
What's the likely ripple effect on smaller airports that connect to Charlotte Douglas International Airport? Airports like my own, Asheville or Greenville, Spartanburg, or for that matter, Raleigh.
Yeah, that's a great question, really across the country. So not just, you know, for the residents of North Carolina, but when you travel, if you're going to other small markets across the country as your final destination, they're kind of asking the same question too. And the reality is that this is bigger than just the new American merger. What this merger can spark across the entire kind of commercial passenger industry is continued decrease in flight levels to smaller regional airports. And really, that's the nature of the system we've designed where, frankly, the airlines can be able to basically turn a profit like a normal business. You know, this has been such a tough marketplace for them. And it's one of the reasons we see as passengers fees going up and other things, other costs basically besides just the ticket price, which is enabling these firms to make a profit. And that's really what's going to allow them to continue to do business. Regional airports, without question, in the past, simply did not have the passenger base to support the flight levels they had. So moving forward, especially through consolidated operations, these new airlines, these mega airlines, if you will, have decided to really focus their efforts on connecting those small airports in limited numbers relative to the past to major airports. I would guess that Asheville, Raleigh, let's say, which obviously used to be a hub at one time, will continue to have strong connectivity to Charlotte, if for nothing else, because as long as Charlotte is a major hub, that's going to be the point by which North Carolina metros and other regions throughout the kind of South Atlantic there can continue to connect to other parts of the country and other parts of the world. But again, as Charlotte goes, so will Asheville and Raleigh and other markets in North Carolina. Decreased hub operations in Charlotte really could impact the travel opportunities, the travel availability for residents and businesses in other markets in North Carolina.
What do you think it means for consumers who rely on these smaller airports?
You know, moving forward, the reality is that we're simply not going to have the connectivity we were used to in the past. Let's say, you know, broadly speaking, a generation ago. You know, not just under the regulated system here in the United States, you know, in the 1960s and prior to that, but really, you know, even what we've seen in the past 10, 20 years is that we're going to continue to see consolidated operations at regional airports. Now, some will have the exact same levels they have now, but it's really too much to expect for flight levels to grow in markets unless, and this is a key kind of underscored element, is unless their population bases or their economies are growing on their own. So as markets continue to grow, they will have the opportunity to have stronger airline connectivity. But without that, the reality is they can expect the flight levels they see today probably to be about as broad as they're going to get.
But bottom line, is this good for consumers?
In the past, in general, consolidative operations have tended to show an increase in net flight costs for consumers. But as we kind of analyze that, all kind of experts from all kinds of sides of the industry, you know, it's really hard to untangle how much those price increases, which I want to stress in the long run, right, over 20, 30 years, have actually gone down, right? It's cheaper to fly today than it's ever been. But those slight kind of increases have been really relative to the airlines finding ways to make a profit. So they don't need the kind of financial support, whether it be through the judicial system, through bankruptcy, or even, you know, potential bailout kind of infusions from federal sources. And by having airlines be healthy and financially stable, we can make sure on net that people can get where they want to go through our airport. But in general, consumers have kind of maybe need to adjust to this element that it might cost them a little bit more, you know, on certain kind of almost like flight accessories, if you will, which is hard to say when you have a, you know, a heavy bag or whatnot. But certain things might cost a little bit more because they cost the airline more. You know, it costs more in fuel to carry more cargo, whether it be personal or even mail or things of that nature. So costs might go up a little bit, but it's really going to take about 10, 15 years, as I was stressing, to figure out exactly how this shakes out in certain markets across the country.
You mentioned that 10-year mark. Does it make economic sense for the new combined airline to maintain as many hubs as it's going to have initially?
Yeah, that's, again, what everyone's kind of asking across the industry. You know, this would be the largest number of hubs of any airline, certainly here in the United States. The new merged United, which merged with Continental a few years back, has actually also quite a large number of hubs and hasn't seemed to back off yet. So in some ways, that's a promising sign for this new American. But in general, as the industry continues to consolidate route operations, if you will, at specific places, there's a very real potential that certain hubs may continue to have their status but might see smaller flight levels. There could be a tectonic shift, you know, in how, you know, an actual hub actually gets downgraded completely. So it's really tough to tell, but we do know that in general, you know, the pattern is to more consolidated operations. It's just a question of seeing who's going to shake out of that.
Adi Tomer is a senior research associate and associate fellow at the Brookings Institution. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.